Blog Talk Radio.
I should say, what a wonderful opportunity this is, and welcome to Deeper Truth tonight. We have a great show for you tonight, the Penny Warner story, and she's going to be talking about her faith from being Baptist, raised Baptist, to Catholic. And John, what a wonderful opportunity this is, because people love to hear these conversion stories, and it's just wonderful, isn't it? John? Oh, I'm sorry. Now we got John.
Yeah, and we've had a lot of these conversion stories since the beginning, Donald. And the funny thing is, no two conversion stories are alike. We've had, you know, people converted on the spot, like Christy Martin. And then we've had other people who, over a long period of time, working through a number of different doctrines, and even people who've worked through a number of different doctrines over a long period of time, it's not always the same things. That one person over here may have a real, real tough time with the Mass and the authority of the Church, and then somebody else over here says, no, I didn't really have that much trouble with that aspect of it, but some of the doctrines on Mary. So all of these stories are really fascinating because it all leads to the same place, and it's a wonderful testimony of the Holy Spirit. He's going to send you all kind of different ways. You're going to, one of you is taking Main Street, the other one's taking Fifth Avenue, the other one's taking Route 66, but you're all winding up at the same place. It's just amazing how it all comes together.
Bishop Sheen says there's 1,000 doors by which people enter the church, and it just has to do with that light bulb. When that light bulb comes on, it could come on instantly, and it's just like a bolt of lightning. Or as it can be, a slow dim that just kind of brightens up. You know, it's the way the Holy Spirit kind of works himself through. So that's wonderful.
The biggest thing that it's a proof of in our faith is how grace works and how grace is synergistic and not monergistic. Grace is not something that God pours in us and we can't resist it, and it's just – we're wound up and programmed and like one of those toys that you wind the key on the back and he winds the key up and just lets you go. It doesn't quite work like that. It's grace is something we have to cooperate with. But if you're trying, St. Augustine used to say, pray like everything depends on God and work like everything depends on you. And if you're doing those two things together, the synergy of those two things together is beautiful. God can take you places that you just would never imagine.
And what a story we have tonight that typifies that. Penny Warner has been married to her husband, Matt, for 28 years, praise God. And they have four wonderful children growing up in the Baptist denomination. That's what they grew up as. So she's going, and there's about 150 different denominations of Baptists. So it'll be interesting to see from her experience what that means here, or how, which one, or what have you. But both Penny and her husband, they became Catholic, and since then they have founded a lay apostolate called Grace and Mercy Ministries to share the devotion of the love chaplet, which she'll explain after a while, and to minister to others through word and song. And boy, can she sing. We got a few examples of that tonight. So Penny and her husband founded this Grace Mercy Ministries. And so let's go ahead and bring her on. Penny, welcome to Deeper Truth, and welcome to the show tonight, and to give us your story. What a wonderful opportunity this is.
Well, thank you so much, Donald, for having me on. And John, I really appreciate it. And, you know, my conversion story is one that I like to share with people. I feel like there's some message in it that maybe I could help somebody else as they convert into the Catholic faith. So thank you so much for having me on.
Well, this begins with your parents. Yo, definitely. And this begins with your parents growing up as a young girl. Tell us a little bit about your growing up years.
Well, Donald, honestly, I didn't really have a very good childhood. Growing up, my mom and my dad it was pretty an abusive relationship, actually. My dad was an alcoholic, and my mom and him divorced when I was very young, probably about 9. And then my mom remarried, and then they ended up divorcing, and then my mom passed away when I was 12 years old. But all through that time, God always brought people into my life that would take me to church. And, you know, those people in my life probably have no idea what they did for me growing up. They kind of kept me grounded a little bit. And then it wasn't until I was 20 years old when I met my husband, Matt. And we met in a little hometown, his hometown, Windsor, Missouri. Missouri people might know Windsor. It's tiny. It's an Amish community there, too. So we lived among the Amish. And I told my aunt was sort of like my mom after my mom passed away, told my aunt, said, okay, I'll move. I've messed up my life. I'll move to Windsor. Nobody knows me there. As long as there's a Baptist church there, I can start over. So that's what I did. I went there and I met my husband. We were the best of friends for about a year. Of course, everybody else thought we were more than friends, and I knew in my heart we were going to get married, but Matt had no idea at this point. And so we were, right, we were, you know, men can be clueless sometimes. Women have to just kind of set the story straight. But, you know, so I met him, and we were best friends for like a year. And then God started to place a little love in his heart for me, and he just, you know, he just fell in love with me, and then we got married in 1992. So I think we've been married 29 years, not 28. We'll add that year on because any year is good, you know, as the years go on when you're married. So we've been married 29 years, and so I did not grow up, you know, in a Christian home. So that's where, you know, that's where my life started to really take off when I met my husband and when I became his wife. So that's the beginning of my life. And then after I met my husband, do you want me to go on with all that, or would you like to ask a couple questions?
I got a question in reference to your husband. I mean, as far as you accept, I mean, you were raised in church with friends and that kind of thing growing up, it sounds like. But when you, with your husband, he became a pastor. Was he a pastor when you got married?
Yeah, well, not when we got married. We were youth ministers at first. And then my husband became an associate pastor, which is sort of a co-pastor, right after we got married. And then he was a pastor for probably about 4 years, 4 or 5 years. And then he began his journey into studying the early church. The early church fathers, early church readings. Of course, at that time, I didn't really know he was studying anything. He always loved theology. He just loves all that. So I just thought he was just studying, you know, about history. And then as time went on, we kind of started church hopping a little bit because he just couldn't find the church that he saw was founded. And so I just kind of rode his coattails at this point. I trusted my husband. He was the spiritual head of our family. When we got married in the Baptist church, it was as close to a sacrament as you can get, in my opinion, and not be Catholic. We knew that we were in for the long haul. And so I trusted him, and he was studying. And we couldn't seem to find the church that Christ founded. I was at school at that time. I was at CMSU, which is Warrensburg. Now it's called UCM in Warrensburg, Missouri. And I went on a mission trip with some, you know, other college students. And Matt stayed back because he had to work. And so I went. And we always tried to connect at the end of the day. Wherever we are. And so I called Matt, and he was so excited. He said, "Well, I have something to tell you." And I thought, oh, I thought maybe we'd won like $1 million or something. He was so excited. And he said, I've been studying, and I think God is calling us to be Catholic. And I just was so taken aback. I never thought in a million years that's what he would say to me. We had never looked into Catholic faith before. As a matter of fact, I thought Catholic people were crazy. I thought, you know, they all worship saints and they worship Mary and all the things, misconceptions that everybody has when they don't know the truth. And so I was far, far, far from being wanting to become Catholic. And I thought Matt probably just thought that I would just come right along like I always had, but I was not right there with him. I did not want to be Catholic. And so I got home and I kind of thought it might have been a phase, you know, because we kept going to different churches. And so I thought, okay, there's just one other church that he's going to try out, and then we're just going to go back to where we were because we were comfortable where we were. Our faith was strong, and I thought we had everything we ever could have in our faith. And so I thought, okay, this is just a phase. So it wasn't just a phase. He just kept talking about it, and I just was not getting it. I didn't want to hear anything about it. I thought he was betraying me. I thought our marriage was going to be over. So I thought, okay, I'm going to take him to my pastor. If anybody could change his mind, it would be my pastor. Our pastor. So I get in there and we're sitting there talking, and our pastor would pose a question about the Catholic faith, thinking he, you know, would get him caught up. And Matt's very, very quiet. He just comes right back with a rebuttal, and he doesn't have to get heated. He just speaks the truth. And every time our pastor would say something about the Catholic Church, Matt would just come right back and tell the truth. So at the very end, when he could not get Matt, he could not get him to stumble, he looked right at me and he said, "I'm going to tell you what you need to do." And I said, "Well, what's that?" And he said, "You need to leave Matt because he's taking you and your future children to hell with him."
Oh, man. You know,
and I...
let me pause that. let me pause right there real quick.
Okay.
John, how many times have we heard that? How many times have we heard that kind of talk?
And it's amazing. I started out by saying that every one of these stories is different, and yet what you're walking us through here is the same parallel that we've seen in so many of these stories over and over again. We've had probably 25 debates on Deeper Truth where we brought and we brought some virulently anti-Catholic people on, and we have found that. That's where they go. That's the place they go to when, like your husband did, calmly, reasonably answer their points. It's almost like there's an emotional place inside them that needs to hold on to that hatred that they have for the Catholic Church. And now you have gone through and systematically taken that apart. A couple of other parallels that I noticed in your story that we see over and over again. It's kind of funny that you can stand back and see the landscape through a wider perspective, because in telling your story, I can already see where, okay, I can see where God was already starting to direct you in your life, in the circumstances that came into your life, and even in some of the unfortunate circumstances that came into your life, like your childhood, and many of us have gone through similar circumstances like that. But even in those circumstances, I could see where you were starting to understand that the relationship with God involves other people, that it's not me and Jesus. You made the statement that God was continually bringing other people into your life. And, of course, in the Catholic Church, we call those people intercessors. And I think you were in the position where you were already starting to see that. You also had a second ingredient, you and your husband, and your husband more than you at first, but that hunger to know everything that there is. God, I want to know your truth. Lead me to wherever it is. And so he goes to the early church fathers. He wants to know what they taught, rather than this curl up into this cocoon, curl up into your prejudices and your bigotries that cause you to see the Catholic Church is evil. All Catholics are evil. And sometimes the conversations go like that, because they'll they'll state a doctrine. We'll explain why they're wrong on the doctrine. Then they'll state another doctrine. We'll explain why they're wrong on that doctrine. And then they'll come back and say, well, you don't believe the Bible, and, you know, you're all idol worshipers. Or, you know, they go off with this crazy stuff.
Right.
But you had to, when you walked out of that pastor's office, you had to have been a little bit disappointed, because you went in there thinking that he was going to give you the ammunition. And as far as a conversation, your husband refuted everything that he said. So at the end of the day, all he walked out of there with is, your husband's trying to lead me to hell, but he didn't give you anything, you know, to back that up.
Right? Right. No truth then after that, you know. Walking out of there, I thought, well, that was my last resort. You know, I trusted this pastor. We actually were leading the youth there. We were a very big part of that church, and I was just beaten down. I couldn't believe that's what he had said. I knew that my husband loved me beyond anything, and, you know, I remember going to church. And he would go with me, but then we lived right up the street from the Catholic church, and I would see him after we'd go to church. He was very gracious to go to church with me still. And then you'd get done with church, and then he would walk down to the Catholic church. And when I watched him walk down the road, I just could not, I just would cry, because I just couldn't believe that he was doing this to our family. And I remember one particular Sunday, we were at church together, our church, which, you know, and they took communion in that church. Now, obviously, it was not the Eucharist, but they took what they thought was communion. And we would pass the tray, you know, with the little grape juices in the tray and then the little crackers, you know. And I took the communion, and then I passed the plate to Matt, and he looked at me and he said, I can't take it. And I thought, wow, okay, he's serious about this. Like, he's literally not taking communion with me. And so afterwards I said, why didn't you do that? Why didn't you take communion with me? He said, 'cause it's not the truth. He said, and this is the best thing that he could have ever said to me, being a spiritual head of our family. Like, I'm a little bit spoiled. I get a lot of stuff. You know, I get what I want for the most part. And he could have said to me, okay, we're just going to stay. We'll just stay here. But he looked at me and he said, listen, I will understand if you have to leave me, but I will never leave you. But I have to follow the truth. I have to follow the truth. And if he would have said, all right, honey, we'll just stay where we are. We love Jesus. You know, we'll just stay where we are. We may have missed out on the most biggest blessing. I mean, we would have missed out on the Catholic faith. And so for him to do that as a spiritual head of our family, you know, and it wasn't easy after that. I still thought, okay, well, you're giving me permission to go. I'm going. Like, I can't do this. Like, I couldn't even believe he was still asking me to do it. But then as time went on, I saw that he just was serious about it. He started going to RCIA classes. And, of course, I thought, oh, gosh, he's down there by himself, you know, doing this again by himself, not with me. He was doing
right.
that.
So, if I can interrupt for just one second.
Hold on. Hold on. I got to get into a commercial break real quick. So before we go into that, we got a whole lot more. We've got a whole lot more here.
Okay.
I want to get into this commercial break real quick,
okay.
And then we got a whole lot more to contact here. So let us go ahead and do this commercial, and
okay.
We will be right back here on Deeper Truth, and we will play also a song coming from Penny.
Our family is made up of every race. We are young and old, rich and poor, men and women, sinners and saints. Our family has spanned the centuries and the globe. With God's grace, we started hospitals to care for the sick. We established orphanages and helped the poor. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, bringing relief and comfort to those in need. We educate more children than any other scholarly or religious institution. We developed the scientific method and laws of evidence. We founded the college system. We defend the dignity of all human life and uphold marriage and family. Cities were named after our revered saints who navigated a sacred path before us. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are transformed by sacred scripture and sacred tradition, which have consistently guided us for 2,000 years. We are the Catholic Church. With over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the sacraments and fullness of the Christian faith, for centuries we have prayed for you and our world, every hour of every day, whenever we celebrate the Mass. Jesus himself laid the foundation for our faith when he said to Peter, the first pope, "You are rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." For over 2,000 years, we've had an unbroken line of shepherds, guiding the Catholic Church with love and truth in a confused and hurting world. And in this world filled with chaos, hardship, and pain, it's comforting to know that some things remain consistent, true, and strong, our Catholic faith, and the eternal love that God has for all creation. If you've been away from the Catholic Church, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Ours is one family, united in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
Oh,
And that's Penny Warner from the album Love Chaplet, and that was a song called the Love Chaplet song. And John, I mean, you know, just listening to her sing, you know, she has a wonderful voice, doesn't she?
She does. And I'm trying to place exactly who she reminds me of. And I guess maybe it's two or three different artists that she reminds me of in her music. Definitely can hear an influence from Donna Corey there, without a doubt. But also kind of, I'm just going to go out on a limb, Penny, and tell me if I'm really off base here. But it sounds almost like there's some influence from, I'm going to say, Amy Grant.
Was I correct? Yes. I love Amy. Amy Grant.
Because there's a couple of songs that she did that it almost sounded like it was almost like a hybrid of Amy Grant and Donna Corey.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear the same thing there, Donald?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned Corey, Donna Corey Gibson, because she was in this song as well.
Yes.
So she was part of the vocals in this song. And so
okay.
I was hoping that you would mention her. Donna,
mm-hmm.
when we got before we had our little break there, you were talking about with this pastor that you were having. He was telling you to leave your husband because he was leading you and your children to hell. And you had what was your feeling about that? Kind of go over your feeling on that and what that led to.
Well, I felt like he let me down. You know, I thought he was going to be able to change my husband's mind, and he let me down. But it also caused me to really look at my husband and look at what he was talking about. So Matt would leave me little pamphlets all around my house so that I would just, you know, maybe pick them up. Well, I would at this point. I'd pick them up and I'd read them, but I'd put them right back down in the place where they were so he wouldn't know that I was reading them, because at this point I didn't want him to even know I was just an inkling interested, just an inkling. And the only reason why I was an inkling interested is because I loved my husband and I wanted us on the same playing field, you know. And so so as time went on, I decided, you know, well, I had graduated from CMSU, which is UCM now, and I had put out, I can't even tell you how many resumes everywhere afterwards, including the hometown where we met in Windsor. And I told Matt, I said, If I get accepted in Windsor, Missouri, and if there is the priest there, there was one priest that was a family friend, and he prayed in our Protestant wedding, which is amazing. He prayed in our Protestant wedding because he was a family friend. And I said, if this priest is in Windsor and I get accepted into this position in Windsor, then I'll go to Mass with you. And I was like, no, this isn't going to happen. So, you know, the only reply I got back was from Windsor. And guess who the priest was? The same priest that married us. And I was like, are you serious, God? Like, that's getting a 2x4 smacked right in your face. Like, okay, that's it. This is the only, okay, I'm going to have to go to Mass with you. I'm like, that doesn't mean I'm going to be Catholic. Doesn't mean that, but it means that at least I'll go to Mass with you. So we moved to Windsor. I go to Mass with him. Still going to my own church because I wasn't going to give that up, but I was going to Mass. And then it was about 30 miles away, so, you know, so I stopped going to my church. And I was going to Mass with him still. I thought, okay, I love Jesus. This is still, you know, I'm still a Christian. I'm still going. And then there came a time when I just got tired of running. I got tired of running from knowing that my husband loved me and the spiritual head of our family, and I knew this is where God wanted me to be. So I went to my the priest that married us, the guy there who was the only place I got the resume back from, and I said, listen, I do not want to be Catholic, but in obedience to Christ and obedience to my husband, since he's the spiritual head of my family, then I want to come into the Catholic Church. And he shook, he put out his hand and he said, welcome to the church. And I was like, did you not hear me when I said, are you sure? So I did. I started coming to RCIA classes with him, still not understanding everything. But, you know, God doesn't ask us to understand everything when we come into the church. All he's wanting us to do is be open. And that's what I was being. I was being open and obedient. And so
That's it in a nutshell right there. And that's the threshold that is so difficult for people to get over. That's why it's so difficult for people to come into the Catholic Church, and that's why it's so difficult for people to stay in the Catholic Church. Because, and Donald, how many times, if we've heard this argument one time, we've heard it 100 times, I only believe what I see in the Bible and understand. How many times have we heard that? You don't see so you can then believe. You believe so you can then see. And once you get to that point where you realize, okay, what does the Bible really tell me? Well, the Bible tells me Jesus established a church. And so your husband was on the path to determining, okay, I need to know who that church is. Because if that's the church that Jesus established, I need to follow that church. And once you get to that point, like you said, you used the word obedience. Once you get to that point of obedience, that's when the scales start to fall from your eyes. And we've had, I mean, we're trying to put some debates together now with an anti-Catholic that has the same kind of misconceptions. The question I wanted to ask you that's curious, because I know we're going to be marching forward from this point. So the stepping off point is, your husband is bound and determined that he needs to follow the truth of the Catholic Church. So at first you resisted, then you kind of slowly moved towards obedience. But I kind of see the tug of war between the emotion on the one side, but by your pastor, pure emotion, pure hatred of the Catholic Church. So there's the emotion on the other side, but then there's the intellectual pursuit on your husband's side, tugging on the other side. I want to know, where were you at that moment? If I were able to freeze time at that moment and talk to you about, when I say Catholic Church, tell me what the Catholic Church believes as far as you understand it. Where were you at that moment, and what would you have told me?
At that very moment, I would have told you that I know what the facts are. I knew the facts. My husband had shared with me the facts. But my emotions did not mirror those facts. You know, my emotions in my heart did not match the facts in my head yet. But because I knew the facts and I knew the truth of those facts, there was no way I could say no. Because we can't follow our emotions. Feelings lie. You know, my spiritual director tells me that all the time now. Feelings lie, but we have to focus on what the facts are. You know, the church gives us certain rules because those are the facts of the truth of the church. And even though we don't feel like doing those things, we do them anyway because we do believe in the truth and we've seen the truth. So at this point, I knew the facts and I knew that my husband was the spiritual head of our family. I knew that I was going to be obedient. And so that's why I came in. Now, because I came in does not mean that my heart was in it yet. My heart was not in it yet, but my head was. And so we started to actually, you know, we came in 2000. On a side note, my husband and I, we could not have children for 7 years. And interestingly, when I decided to come into the church, we got pregnant. I got pregnant.
Wow.
And we came into
that's cool.
Yeah. Came into the, my daughter was born April 2000, and we came in 2000, 2 weeks later, and the only thing I can remember about the whole night was that I lost my daughter's shoe. I couldn't find it anywhere. It was all of, I couldn't find it. I didn't really know what I was doing. I just knew that this is where God wanted me to be. And so I did it. So it was not until 12 years later that my heart matched my head. And that was through a retreat that I went on. I went on a tech retreat, which is Teens Encountering Christ. Like I said, my husband and I were youth ministers, and so they wanted me to go to this tech retreat as an observer because you can't leave the retreat until you experience it. So I had to experience the retreat just as an observer, just as an adult. You know, no big deal. I was going in just to observe. And it was just for the youth, but it was not just for the youth. And I encountered Christ there. Now, there's a difference between knowing Christ, knowing of Christ, and then encountering him. And I encountered Christ that night like I had never encountered him before. I think I went to my very first confession for real that night. Of course, confession is always confession when you're absolved, but it was that night that I could truly say that Christ forgave me. Like I felt him that night that I hadn't ever felt him before. And so everything started to become, it became more and more true to me. So I came home from
Penny,
the retreat. Yes.
Penny, is this the point where you talk about having a, where you saw a Eucharistic miracle in your life, or would that come later?
Oh, that's way, 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 way far later. That was this,
okay.
That was this summer. There's way more different. No, that's a long time from there. Gosh, it's almost Ooh. Time to go. Like, you're going to have me back on because my life's not even up yet.
I'm going to ask you, can we hang in there for another half hour? Because we got, this is, okay, because I want to go ahead and do our second commercial now and another song of yours.
Donald, before you go to that, before you go to the second commercial, I just wanted to ask one question because me and Donald have talked about this more times on this show than I can count. We've talked about the four persons. I had a counselor explain to me about the four persons, and it's right there in Mark chapter 12, that you must love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, and your whole strength. And me and Donald have talked about how God kind of targets the mind and the soul to direct the heart and the body, and the devil is targeting the heart and the body to rule over the mind and the soul. And it seems like that was the tug of war that you were in between the mind and the heart. Is that accurate?
Yes, absolutely. And Satan knows that. Satan knows that about women, too, because women are all about emotions, you know. And so Satan plays on that like nothing, you know, like everything. And so he knew that if he could keep bringing in the, you know, emotional side of it, you know, feelings.
Wow.
Yeah. So then when I got home, you want to do that commercial, don't you?
Yeah. I want to do that because I want to get all this in. I want to get all this in, but I think this is, I want to show people the talent that you have off of the album that she has, Love Chaplet, original music by Penny Warner. And she does have a number of these that have Donna Corey Gibson. And you could talk a little bit more about the album on the flip side of this commercial, but I want to hear the story about what you encountered with your confession and what came after that. So let's go ahead and go to the commercial, and we'll be right back on Deeper Truth.
Over the years, we begin to realize how quickly life goes by. For some of us, our journey will end without notice. And when our transition into eternity begins, there won't be a chance for any do-overs. No time to rewind our life. No chance to choose a different ending.
Stupid little brain of yours to do any...
For the movie of our life can be used to judge us. We will sorrowfully relive the bad times. And joyfully revisit the good. It is then we will fully realize how our unkind thoughts and selfish choices wounded others and led us away from God, our loving Father.
You people are lazy.
And each time we ignored God's voice,
I think she's pregnant by somebody else.
No.
Our conscience grew more deaf and our heart hardened. Thankfully, you still can ask God to help edit your life story and create the ideal ending. No matter what you've done, there is good news. Since Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save it. Jesus can heal your memories and forgive your past if you accept his mercy. You really can be freed from the addiction of sin and find lasting peace. Imagine hearing God say after your life's movie, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It all starts by asking Jesus to help you now. If you've been waiting for a sign, this is your chance to begin an adventure with God that will last forever. Learn more at CatholicsComeHome.org. Trust in Jesus and find hope, forgiveness, and a more abundant and everlasting life. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
Play. We
That's original music by Penny Warner off the album called Love Chaplet, and this one is called, the song is called Your Love Remains. And that is, I think that is just amazing. And I'm so thankful that we have good Catholic music out there for all people. And so I really love what I'm hearing off of this album, and I encourage anyone to ask about it. I'm sure that Penny would sure love to have more of those come out.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of that there, John? John?
Yeah, can you hear me
all
now?
Right. Yeah, I hear you now. I hear you.
Yeah, it's really powerful. She's obviously a great vocalist, but the band is very good, too. It's a very high-impact song. You know what song it reminded me of, Donald? I don't know if you remember this song, but it was a song by Michael W. Smith called Secret Ambition. Do you remember that song?
Yeah, I sure do. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what it reminded me of. It had the same kind of impact. Were you influenced by Michael W. Smith as well? Or
no, I love him. I love him. Oh yeah, I do. I love all his praise and worship music. I didn't put those two connections together. I love 80s music. The guitar, the electric guitar there is played by my producer, who is also Donna Corey Gibson's producer in New York. And so he's actually playing his electric on there. So yeah, it was a blessing.
Oh, that is, that is. With Donna, or Donna, I'm calling you Donna.
That's okay.
Okay, Penny.
That's
Penny,
okay. That's a compliment.
I love Donna. I do love Donna. Penny, go ahead and start back there with where you made that first spiritual confession and kind of go from there.
Okay, so that confession was amazing. The tech retreat then ended. Of course, all I wanted to do was learn everything now about the Catholic Church. I came home. I had books all over my table. My husband thought that I had gone crazy, and I did, because I just – now the Catholic faith matched my – you know, my heart matched my head, and I just – wanted to know everything I could about my faith now, not just my husband's faith, but my own faith. And from then is when my spiritual journey really began. And so, you know, my life from then on had been heavily influenced by the Divine Mercy Chaplet. I heard it one day on EWTN. I heard the chaplet being sung there on the TV, and I thought it was the most beautiful prayer I had ever heard. I hadn't really even heard about the Divine Mercy Chaplet because I never really looked into stuff. You know, I didn't really know. And so I started listening to it periodically throughout the day. Every time I turn it on, I just was so peaceful in my home. And then I just became more and more in love with Christ as I started to listen to that devotion. It really brought me into my prayer life. And so from that time on, God would wake me up, started to wake me up every morning at 3:00 in the morning. And he would wake me up, call my name, and wake me up, and give me specific things to do, like go to this Bible verse, and all in order. I'd go down, I would sit at my table, and I would just journal, just pray and journal and have beautiful conversations with our Lord. And then one day, I remember coming down, God called me down, I came down to my kitchen table like normal, And I had this overwhelming urge to just love Christ better. Like, I just wanted to tell him how much I loved him, but the word love means so many things in our own language. It's, you can love pizza, you can love your family, you can love your dog. And I just was like, Lord, it doesn't seem right to just say I love you, because I just wanted to do more than that. And I said, Lord, show me how I can love you. Tell me how I could love you. And at that point, my Lord appeared to me on my left. He appeared to me bloodied and bruised, as if the time of his crucifixion. And the thing I remember most about him was his eyes. His eyes were the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. They were so blue and crystal. Not really blue. I can't even explain it. It's as close to blue as I could say. I can't explain it. But as we sat there together, he started to give me these words to the Love Chaplet, which at the time I didn't know it was called the Love Chaplet. I was just writing words down that he was giving me. And he sat with me there, and he gave me the words to this prayer. And then he showed me that he wanted me to make a chaplet. And I thought, you can't just go and make that, can you? You can't just go make a chaplet, you know? And so he gave me the specific colors to put in the chaplet and gave me the specific colors, the specific words, and what to say on each bead. And as I sat there, it just became more and more clear that this was something that God was going to give me to share with the world. And he told me that it was supposed to be the youth chaplet, which was not surprising, because we had worked with youth. And, you know, our youth are attacked so much these days. And they're going to be on the front lines of our church. They're going to be the ones who are going to lead our church into battle. And the Lord told me that this chaplet was going to help them march into battle and teach them how to sacrifice themselves for Christ like he sacrificed his life for us. You know, with the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Right.
Penny, so this love chaplet,
yes,
then basically, from what I'm getting, what you're saying, will be a form of spiritual warfare, or a part of spiritual warfare that the youth can utilize for strengthening, for molding, for you know, that kind of thing. So
strength,
on top
of the
rosary and the Divine Mercy, and there's many, many devotions in the church. And so this is
now
something
this prayer, this chaplet, I do, first of all, I want to say that I made an appointment when I knew that God wanted me to start sharing it. I made an appointment with my bishop. I called the chancery and I said, I have got to see my bishop, because it's very important when you receive private revelation like that, you have got to seek out the right passage for it, for God to let it spread. And I knew that if I could not get my bishop's permission, then I would not be able to share it in my diocese. And so I made an appointment. I made him a chaplet. I wrote everything down about it. I put it in a manila envelope, and I made an appointment, and I went, and I gave it to him personally, myself. And I said, well, Bishop, I'd like for you to look at this. God gave me this, and I want you to let me know what you think. I mean, what, you know, so he took it, graciously took it, and I didn't hear back from him for like 2 months. And I thought, he's not going to give me permission. And if I don't get permission, I can't spread it. But 2 months later, I got an email back saying, I see nothing wrong with the Love Chaplet, and you're free to spread it in my diocese. And so from then on, it was like horses coming out of a stable, just I just started to share it, and it has just grown. It has produced so much fruit, and that's what the bishop and my spiritual director both said. We need to see what the fruits are going to be from this chaplet, and there has become so many fruits come from it. Beautiful fruits that I never even dreamed would even happen. You know, people are calling me, little old ladies are calling me from nursing homes to bring them chaplets so that they can pray for the youth. And how awesome is that? Like, I never even knew God would take it that way, but he did. And now there's talks with another, with a friend of mine, Raymond Haywood, which is an amazing man. He works with fathers. And he called me after he heard me on a conference and said he wanted to talk to me. God was calling him to call me to talk to me about giving these chaplets to young children for their mothers to pray with them for their first little beads, because it's a small little chaplet compared to the bigger prayers, and it can be a bridge, you know, to those bigger prayers. And so we're in talks now about doing all of that, making a book for that. And God has just been amazing. He said it'd go around the world. Well, COVID, you know, COVID was awful, but it wasn't all bad. God brought some really good fruits from it. I was able to be on conferences, Divine Mercy conferences, and that were seen all over the world. And God told me the chaplet was going to go all over the world. And now I'm sending it to like Australia and the Philippines and all these places. And I've met you good people. And God has just taken this and run with it by himself. Now, I don't have to do anything except for tell people
so
about
it. So you have a pamphlet that explains this or gives the details of this? Yeah. Do you have pamphlets on that?
Well, I have a website that people can go on and read about my story. It's lovechaplet.com. Very easy, lovechaplet.com. And they can read about my story. There's an email there that they can email me. And if they would like to have a chaplet, a love chaplet, all they have to do is request one, send me their address, and I will make them. I make them all by myself right now. I've made about 325 of them, and I know that I'm not going to be able to do that by myself very much longer. There's going to have to be people to help me, but as of right now, I make them all. And I will sit and make them and send it to them as soon as I can with one of my CDs so that they can learn it and pray it. And so
is there a way that you could use those prayers with a regular rosary, or is it a little bit different, like the rosary that we do, the sorrowful Our Lady of Sorrows, or the St. Michael chaplet? Is it kind of like that, or
this chaplet, this love chaplet? When God gave it to me, I originally thought that it was going to be, you know, constructed like the rosary with the 10 beads and then the 1 and the 10. But God instructed me to make it 5 beads, and I asked him, why just 5 beads? And he said, because the youth won't pay attention if it's 10. And which is so true, because it's a smaller prayer and it can teach kids and youth how to pray. And then once their prayer life is going off, then they'll want to be doing the bigger prayers. So what it is it's a small chaplet. And what I do with it normally is I will, after I pray the Divine Mercy chaplet, which reminds us of his love and mercy, then I will pray the love chaplet, which will give me the opportunity to show Christ how much I love him and will sacrifice my love and my life for him. And, you know, when I say sacrifice your life, I'm not talking just maybe about, you know, dying to yourself. I mean, you may have to die for Christ someday. Like, you may have to actually sacrifice your life for Christ. Who knows? And so, that's a way for you to do that, is to pray this love chaplet and show him how much, because he gave us those words. He gave us those words. When I pray it, It's as if I'm saying it for the very first time again. It brings me back to that day. And it's just a beautiful.
You can go to your website, lovechaplet.com,
yes.
and you explain what all it is and the prayers and everything
yep.
about it, the meditations and
yes.
what that is. So, well, that sounds very interesting.
Yes.
John,
mm-hmm.
Let me get John. John, do you have any question about that or anything about it?
Well, I just think it's an absolutely amazing story. And, you know, I was kind of anticipating what you were going to say ahead of what you were going to say it because I've gone on the same journey in my faith to go deeper and deeper in my faith, and I see the same track over and over and over again. If you want to experience true love, if you want to understand true love, you got to understand suffering. And it all starts
mm-hmm.
with the suffering that Jesus he said of himself, greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for his friends. And you did point out that we may have to literally do that.
Yes.
But there are many other ways to lay down your life and suffer for Christ short of, full blood martyrdom, red martyrdom. Some people are living
mm-hmm.
martyrs their entire lives.
Yes.
And that is what true love looks like. And I'm just
mm-hmm.
fascinated by your story. So when did this happen that you actually had this actual encounter with Jesus?
Well, I'll tell you exactly the day. It was March 10th, 2015.
Okay.
And that's the day that it happened. And then it was just for him and I for a little while. And when he wanted me to start sharing it, I was kind of sad, you know, because it was really our intimate time. But I knew that other people needed to feel this love, too, and to be able to express their love for Christ. So that's when I gave it to the bishop. And then... and then began the journey of the song. That whole thing is a story in itself, making the song, finding a image to put to this song as well. There's just a whole lot about it that I could go with. So I don't know exactly which avenue you'd like for me to go with it.
Penny,
I'll share
with other
parts of.
Oh, gotcha. I got Mike from New Jersey. Mike, you've been listening to this. Do you have a question or anything that or a comment what you've been hearing?
I noticed when Penny, when you talked about making the chaplet, that you kind of took dictation from the Lord as
yeah.
to what was going to be on it. Well, we have someone mm-hmm. like that who has been with us mm-hmm. for many years. Her name was Judy mm-hmm. Alciator. I don't know if you've listened to this mm-hmm. program before, but she died about a month ago. And another question I wanted to ask you, though, about that,
mm-hmm.
Judy would take dictation from the Lord and would come mm-hmm. up with some beautiful poems. I have one of them
yeah.
queued up.
Mm.
And this one is called The Birds.
Now, this is a brand new poem that God gave me this morning. And I think I'm going to entitle it The Birds to Heaven. Sometimes I wish the birds would sing and take their song upon the wing to share with those who have no song, who live in sorrow all day long. Sometimes I wish the birds would fly and sing to God in heaven high. Please, dear Lord, send down your love and shine on them from heaven above.
Oh.
If the lark and if the sparrow flew to God through the straight and narrow, we would see the sunshine bright as the breeze held them up in flight. For God has made the birds to sing through joys, through woes, through everything. And those who live with joyless hearts could fly to God and be a part of every flock that fills the sky, to sing with love for God on high, and God would make their souls to lift, for heaven indeed is the most blessed gift. Thank you, Lord.
Oh.
That's the way she would always end her, that's the way she always ended. She had,
that's beautiful.
I think 2,000. She had 2,000 of such poems like that. And she, they would come in, and I mean, she would write them down in like 2 or 3, maybe 4 or 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, you know, for me to write something like that would maybe take all day if I even did that.
Yeah.
They would come, you know, instantaneous. It is pretty interesting.
That is
John,
so, that's beautiful. That was beautiful.
Oh, it is. And we miss her.
It's an amazing
You cannot replace a Judy. Judy is... She was just a special person, and we are so thankful that she was part of our team. And so you just can't replace it, Judy.
Yeah, I would have loved to have met her. She sounds like an amazing woman, and you know, I could hear through that poem how much she loved God and how much she wanted other people to love God. And I know that she probably had very intimate moments with Christ, and she probably understands how I felt that day. And I, you know, I'm so grateful and blessed that God would even use me in that kind of a way. I have hundreds of journals of our conversations together, and I would have loved to have met her.
Oh, it would have been great. And the fact that you're here is no accident either, by the way. But I would like to hear, because we're getting kind of short now. We are definitely getting short, but I'd love to hear about your Eucharistic miracle that you were able to. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. So it was this summer, and I chaperone a camp for high schoolers called Camp Bosco in Kansas City, St. Joe Diocese. And we, on one particular night, we always have adoration on a Thursday night, and we went into this this brand new chapel, and I'd never been there before. And I sat in the way back because I like to watch the kids, you know, how incredible they are with Christ during that adoration time. So I sat in the back, and I just wanted them to see Christ so badly in the Eucharist. And so the monstrance was beautiful, and I had never seen such a huge host before. It's so big and beautiful, and I just couldn't stop staring at it. And I just wanted them to see Christ. And I said, Lord, let them see you. And let me see you. I want them to see you. And about that time, on the host became these stripes of red. And they looked like the stripes that struck him when he was being crucified. And so I was immediately just so thankful. And I'm like, Lord, just let them see. And so we finished the adoration, and I walked outside and was very grateful. Walked outside, and I saw one of the kids, and he looked very, I could just tell that something had happened. You know, you can see it in their eyes, and I could just tell. So I went up to him, and I said, hey, did anything happen during adoration tonight? And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, did you have any special moments that you want to share? And he said, yes, I do. I said, let's go over here and talk. So we went and talked, and I said, what happened? He said, I looked up, and all of a sudden on the host, on Jesus, I saw these stripes. these red stripes that looked like he was being beaten. And I was like, thank you, Lord. You know?
Wow.
So that was such a blessing to see that happen. And so I'm very grateful that he gave me the consolation too. I mean, of one of the youths that saw it. And I don't know if anybody else did or not, but maybe it was just for that one person. And I know it was for me too.
I know that happened to my mother. My mother saw the face of Jesus. In fact, she's a convert too. She was raised Assembly of God, Holiness, anti-Catholic as well. And a friend was reaching her with the Catholic faith, and my mom went with her to a Eucharistic worship, ministry. And when she went in there, she saw that the face of Christ and the movement. And she asked everybody, how did they do that? She thought everybody saw it, but it was only her that saw it. Everybody was looking at her like, what? But my mother saw that, my mother became a strong convert. And so I want to get to John. John, what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I'm struck by what Mike said, because I was I was tracking kind of the same way. Penny, earlier tonight I sent you our 2000th episode that we did on July 6th.
Yeah.
And Judy passed away exactly 2 months later on September 6th. And she's on that show. But I agree with what Mike said. It's just fascinating, the timing that you come into our life so shortly after she left it, because your stories parallel each other so much. In terms of the encounters, the Eucharistic miracle is astounding. We were going to do we had something simpler happen years ago. It wasn't Eucharistic miracle, but years ago in the Northern Virginia, we had what became known as the Seton miracles. We had a priest out here, Father Bruce, who got the stigmata, and then like more than 100 statues started crying. So it's amazing how you've had all these little pockets of miracles going on all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, God is trying to reach us. And,
yes, he is.
I'm just so thankful for your story and your testimony. Let me ask you, when this Eucharistic miracle took place, did it get any press in the diocese? Was it something that there were a lot of witnesses to this?
No, actually, it's funny, the chapel is inside our radio station in Kansas City, and so the chapel is the Divine Mercy Chapel right there in the radio station. So I called the radio station, and I said, hey, I just wanted to know, if anything has happened miracle-wise in the chapel. And they said, no, not that I know of. And I said, you might want to go in there and pray in front of Jesus there because a miracle happened. And I didn't feel like I needed to say anything. I think maybe it was just for me and for this other youth. I felt like if it was supposed to be shared in some way, then it would be, of course God gives me a lot of miracles. And so, that particular one was special, but just every miracle that he gives me and speaks with me and the conversations we have are miracles to me. So,
that
is a miracle, but yeah.
That's amazing. I've been to that recording studio. A couple of them have actually been a part of Deeper Truth and have been on here. They've helped us with an interview. You know, the guy that played Hercules back in the 90s. He came on our show. And we've done a lot of things. I've got one more commercial break and one more song. And then we'll wrap it up after that because we are at that time. But, boy, this is what we do this all night. We'll be right back.
Yes, I can.
Deeper Truth.
Okay. All right.
I worked in pro baseball for a long time, and we play on Sundays. And it was an easy excuse. I took the easy out and just didn't go to Mass.
When I was in college, I ended up having a lot of questions about my faith, and I ended up leaving the church.
I might have gone to church, you know, at Christmas time, gradually quit going.
Went through a divorce and ended up being a single parent. If I didn't have church or God, I would be back at that lonely stage, that trouble stage. Whenever you get anxious and worry about things, you just know that Jesus has it under control.
When you come home to the church, you're coming home to a Catholic family where people today just embrace you.
And it's a place where I feel accepted for who I am.
I feel alive, complete, and at home.
I have a peace when I walk through the doors of the Catholic Church, like that's where I belong.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Your eyes and feel the spirit.
was the original music by Penny Warner, and that's a beautiful song. That's a beautiful song. All, this whole called Expose My Heart by Penny Warner. Penny, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. I do want to ask John first. For John, if you have any last call, last thought. John? He may have shut himself off again because he was... Go ahead.
First of all, welcome to Deeper Truth. And we're so glad you keep on. That last song, for sure, I heard Donna Corey's influence. Yeah. In fact, I can point to this specific CD that she did. She did a CD called The Way of the Cross. And I can definitely hear that influence, that song.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just so happy with your story, and your music is awesome. And just so glad to have you a part of the Deeper Truth family now.
Well, I appreciate it so much. And yeah, I do appreciate it so much. And the reason why it probably sounds a little bit like hers is because we have the same producer who produces both of our CDs. And so I'm sure that has a lot to do with it as well.
Sure.
So.
John, that makes it, we got two singers as part of Deeper Truth now with Penny here, and then Terry Delft, because he does music as well, and he's two different venues, but man, they're both right on fire for Christ and for his Catholic Church.
Totally different genre of music, but equally on fire, and he's you want to talk about on fire for the Lord? He is absolutely combustible.
Yeah, he's combustible.
Terry, what's his name?
Terry Delp, yes.
Terry Delp.
Yes.
Hey, tell me one more time. Tell me one more time, Judy's last name.
Alciator.
Can you spell that for me?
Hold
on. It's Alciatore.
T-O-R-E. Okay, and what day did she pass?
September 6th. You can find a lot of her poems on Facebook, God's Poems. Mike, do you happen to have a last call, last thought or comment about tonight?
Well, I'm curious, Penny, that you talked about somebody who told you don't go to the Catholic Church because they're leading you straight to hell. As you got closer and as your heart began to mesh with like two gears, like your heart was beginning to mesh with your brain or vice versa. Did that voice echo in the back of your mind, or did it become less and less?
You know, less and less. Like I actually pray for that pastor now, 'cause he's the one that I'm worried about, you know, and I have often thought to contact him again. I don't know what kind of a good that would do, but I appreciate the fact, really, that he said that, because that caught me off guard and helped me wake up a little bit to see who my husband really was and what he was wanting to do with our family. So God brings us into really, different opportunities, different opportunities.
I met your husband, and he is a great soul. I tell you, I was blessed to meet you. We actually met twice, actually, because not only did I speak at your church, but I also met you at St. John of Lawn, where I went to school at as a kid.
Yeah.
So, but we are at the end of our show tonight, Penny, and I'm so thankful that you were able to spend some extra time with us tonight. And I'm just so thankful for your conversion story, and that you're part of Deeper Truth now, that you can come on any time that you have availability. You're part of us.
Oh, awesome. I would love that. I really appreciate it so much.
Oh, with John Carpenter, the Journey with Mary series, and with Greg, with the Eucharistic Miracles, and he'd love to hear the story that you just shared tonight. Oh, wonderful. But we'll go ahead and rock and roll tonight. By the way, I am standing on the rock, and my name is on the roll, so yes, I do rock and roll. And I'm so this is so good. So for John and for Mike, and then also for Penny and all those out there listening all over the world, we want to thank everybody. And be looking for this album, Love Chaplet. You can find it on Deeper Truth here, but you can also find this on YouTube, because you can see that. You can get the whole thing on YouTube. So for everybody, good night, everybody, and God bless. Oh, and
thank you.
John, before I go, John, would you say a prayer of closing tonight? I think we need to say a prayer. Could you lead us in a prayer?
Yeah, absolutely. Name of the Father and the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Good night, everybody. Amen. And
good night.
We'll see you. We'll see you the next time. Good night.
Good night.
Our family is made up of every race. We are young.
Hi there. This is John, the founder and host of this program. On behalf of all the members of Deeper Truth, I want to thank you for listening to our program, the internet radio program of DeeperTruthBlog.com. If you like what you hear, please tell a friend and go to our website, www.deepertruthblog.com. It is loaded with great apologetics blog articles, videos, blog talk radio show episodes, and a whole lot more. Please visit this website, and if you feel led, make a contribution to this ministry via the PayPal link on the front of the site. Thank you very much for your support, and please keep us in your prayers. God bless you.
Deeper Truth Blog.